Okay, Shavua Tov world. Lovely to see everybody. And today's daf in Masechet Gittin, brought to you from Eretz HaKedesh, is daf Yud Ches. We're holding right at the bottom of Yud Zayin Amud Beis. And just to make sure that we get up to date, I guess in order to do that, I'm just going to have to get a little bit of at least a shot of Ari. If I can't get a shot of Ari, I don't know that anything but Calvin is behind there. So at least a shot. Yeah, we got Darren. That's good. Is he going to show? He's going to show. Okay, wonderful. So let me just remind you what we've been talking about. We discovered in this parak that a get needs a date. Why does a get need a date? And it turns out that there's two very different approaches. Rabbi Yochanan's approach is that a get needs a get, it needs a date because of the dinim that the get is dealing with, which has to do with marriage. So that if there isn't a date, we're worried that if we cannot establish a particular date that the divorce took place on, then a get could always be used as an ex post facto way out of adultery, because she could always claim she was divorced from before if there's no date. That was Rabbi Yochanan's approach. Rish Lakish's approach was that the reason that we're worried about the date and the get is purely financial, the same way that we're worried about other documents. And that's because, according to Rish Lakish, from the time that the debt is dated and signed, that's when the husband loses his rights to continue to eat from the Nichsei Malug of his wife. And therefore, he's going to be stealing from her. She won't be able to recover all of that produce, then she's out. And therefore, we do this for the protection of her monetary needs. Now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that's meaningless because anyway, the husband doesn't lose his rights until he actually gives her the get. And then we had a third shita in the Mishnah, Bichlal, and that was the other question about whether if the get is predated, is it possible? So according to Rabbi Shimon, it's not possible. And they're both, Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, agree that the reason that it's not possible, according to Rabbi Shimon, is because he holds that the woman, actually from the time that the get is written, so whatever the date is on the get, whenever the heck it was signed, and whatever is delivered is irrelevant, because basically he loses his right to Nichsei Malug smack bang when he makes that decision to divorce her. So then we asked a couple of questions because, I mean, there isn't really any way to make absolutely certain that this is going to work. I mean, what about in a case where you have the same thing that you would have in other contracts? Other contracts don't have to be actually dated to an exact moment. They could be dated to sometime in the week, sometime in the month, sometime in the year, and even at sometime in the Shavua, meaning the part of the years in the seven-year cycle of Shemitah. And we certainly didn't make a whole new takona of dating a get. It's the same with the get. So we wanted to know, like, so how really useful is that date? And what the Gemara came out, and the reason we're going over this is because we're going to be exploring more of the issue, which is called Ma ho'ilu chachamim betakanatam. If you can't cover all your bases, then what's the point? So the first real problem that we had was, what good is a dated get if you can cut out the date? What happens if you erase the date? That kind of thing. And we said over there, we're not really chayish for straight out and out rama'ut, where somebody's going to cut it out. And as far as having a get written where it wasn't an actual dated get, no self-respecting sofer is going to write it, and no self-respecting edim are going to sign it. So we're not too worried about that. But then we had this problem of, what good is a very broadly dated debt? I mean, it's only going to be meaningful in terms of the next 7 years or the previous 7 years, says the Gemara. So that you can't ask ma'ahanu chachomi b'tekanatam. You can't say that that's meaningless. It certainly is going to make a difference in terms of the before and the after. So let's say that she actually had slept with someone during the Shemitah before. At least the get is not going to cover her if it's dated the Shemitah afterwards. And let's say that we've got a husband selling the Nichsei Malug after this Shemitah cycle. So then it's going to help for her to be able to recover that. You're right. It's only only partial. But look, says the Gemara, it's always really only partial because we never have an exact moment that's written in a contract. So you're always going to be have some kind of overlap that you're not able to cover. And therefore, the idea over here is basically to make a takana that there is a date which will work as well as it can work under the circumstances. And that was the last thing that we had learned. And we want to now continue asking about ma ho'ilu chachomim betakanatam. And here's the question that we have today. If we're going to be sending a get from overseas, I mean, this could be a six-month trip. So, I mean, what that would mean is that almost always when we're sending a get from Medinat Hayam, we're always going to have really a problem. Because what it means is that the date on the get and the signature on that date was understood from the beginning that it really does not reflect the actual time of the get. How about a case like this? How about a case where a man is having a lot of trouble with his marriage? He and she agree that, you know, they're going to give it, let's say, a month to see if they can get some therapy help and so on. Meanwhile, she wants him to have a get ready to give her in the event that she's not ready to keep up with this marriage. He writes a get with the understanding that they're going to be trying some type of therapeutic approach and so on. This can happen. And I mean, what do we do then? I mean, the date that's on the get is meaningless. And even though it was signed at that point, wouldn't it be meaningless? In which case, we still have to say that overall, the Chachomim didn't really do very much by putting a date on a get, since get might often be kept for a very long time before they would be used. So that's what we want to look at today. And we're right now at the bottom of Yitzayin Amud Beis, Omer Le Ravina Le Rava. How about a guy who wrote a get for Otve Bekise? Now he's got it in his attaché case. And he's keeping it there with the understanding, the Ima Faisa, if he's able to get over these fights that he's got with his marriage right now. So then Tifayes, she maybe will accept now the reconciliation talks. And then if it doesn't work, fine, then he'll use the get, but he doesn't want to give her the get. So then what exactly was the achievement of Takanatam to have a date? Again, my means, again, ma'o ilu chachomi batakanatam. I mean, it means that it's actually, for all intents and purposes, it's a get mukdam. And when she gets that get, I mean, let's say she gets that get, and during the time in which they were having these supposed reconciliation negotiations, she's been sleeping with some lover or something, and then she uses this get to show that, look at the get. The get was dated before I had any of those relations, and therefore, what's the problem? Safta? Therefore, what's the problem? So what about that? And the same thing would be true. Now, this is a little bit of an iffy thing. The same thing might be true, Aliba de Resh Lakish, when it comes to the Nechsei Malur. Tosis doesn't like that, because he points out that in terms of the Nechsei Malug, it's going to be the other way around over here. Because since it's always going to be predated, so it's going to actually not protect the woman. It's going to be a problem of how do we protect the Lekuchot from the woman suing them for claiming that they had no right to buy her Nechsei Malug. Which Tosu says, I mean, like, you can't say Maho Ilu Chachamim B'Takanatam when the problem over here is a different problem than the one that the Takana was made for. So this is only seems to be working out according to Rabbi Yochanan, according to Tosfos and many other Rishonim, that we can't really make certain that she won't use this get to cover her adultery. Okay, anyway, so what do you say about that? So Rava said to Ravina, Omale lo maktim inish puranute lenavshe. Look, this situation over here is, it's such a rare kind of thing that a person is going to, he's trying to go to therapy to avoid a get, is going to have to get written and held in his attaché case for immediate delivery. It doesn't seem reasonable. So at least in that case, we're not particularly worried. Omar Le Ravina Lervashi, well, that's that case. But what about cases where you're sending the get from Medina to Yam. And it's going to take months until the get gets there. So what about that? I mean, you might write them in Nisan. They're going to get there 6 months later in Tishrei. So over there, you're always going to have debts, gets that are predated. So Mao Ilu Chachovi Betakanata. Omar Lai said, Ravashi, that's very different because these kinds of gittin, they have a kol. People know that these were gittin. It's like famous. He sent her a get from Timbuktu and so on. So if that's the case, then if people know about it, it's not going to work to use as a way out of adultery because there's going to be a kol that this get was delivered much later. And then they're going to ask her to establish when was the get given. Itamar. Now we get another question. Now that we've dealt with this issue, the question is, how do we relate the get timing, so whatever date is on the get, how do we relate it to the din of a woman needing to wait 3 months after divorce in order to make certain that she's not pregnant from her first husband? So what would be the din of the get that was actually written earlier and wasn't delivered until months later? So what would be the din with that? Itamar. So me'ematai monim leget. So we want to make sure that we don't have any problem of defining who the father was of this child. And so we have this 3 month wait before marriage, after the death of a husband or the divorce of a husband. And the question is, when does that start from? Rav says, well, it starts from the time that you gave her the get. Where Shmuel says, no, it starts from the time that you write the get. So if it's clear that the get was written earlier, that means that the relationship with her husband has broken down at that time. Because of that, Barnea, when we said Timbuktu, we didn't mean you have to actually go there and you have to prepare drinks for there and anything like that. We just mentioned Timbuktu. I should have said another place. I'm sorry for confusing you.
This cup is from the same continent, but it's further away.
Okay. So what would we do in that case? According to Shmuel, since we say from the time of the writing of the get, we have to say that the relationship is broken down, because otherwise we wouldn't be able to use the get at all. If we're ever using a get that was dated and signed earlier, we need to know that no relations have taken place between these two people since then, because if there were, then this would be called a get yashan. Gavi, please make sure that get yashan is like a fundamental concept, that a get yashan, which is a get in which the husband has been alone with that woman and after the writing of the get, the chachamim were metaken that get is not a kosher get. Now, the reason that it's not a kosher get is because in the event that he impregnated her and she has children, people are going to say, you know, later, hey, wait a minute, you know, this get is dated before a kid was born. Apparently this kid was born out of wedlock. Okay, there's a whole bunch of talk and everything about that. We don't want to be pogame the kids. So because of that, we said, don't give a get like that if it's get yashan. Okay, so anyway, Taina Shmo, look, if that's the case, man, you know, nowadays there's a whole other problem of a get yashan. And I mean, I had this happen to me. The printers put the wrong date on the benchers. So according to the bencher, everybody's happened to you too. So according to the bencher, the parents weren't married in the year that they had the kid. It was a year later that they got married. This inevitably invokes looks. People are looking at the bencher on Shabbos, you know, at least for the first couple of years where it's obvious that the kid is not old enough to be part of this bencher. Anyway, a whole new concern the Gemara knew nothing of. So in any case, don't forget, Gavi dear, to write down get yashan. So this get yashan is Shema Yomru, that gita kadma levina. We're worried that people will say the get was given before the child was born. Okay, so as I'm pointing out, anyway, we're going to be waiting from that time in which they're no longer having any relations, 3 months. So what's the problem? So wait 3 months from when you wrote the get. So Matkiflor of Nasan Bar Hoshaya, I don't understand. According to Shmuel, let's imagine a situation where a guy is going overseas. He's worried that something may happen to him. He's not going to make it back. And he's got, let's say, two wives, right? So one of these wives he orders the get for. I mean, there's a waiting time. The sofer is going to write the get. One get is written a month earlier, and one get is written a month later. He gives both gitim on the same day. And now one of his wives, the one that got the earlier dated get, is allowed to get married immediately to somebody, and the other one isn't. And people are going to say, this doesn't make any sense. These two women got a get on the same day. One of them went ahead and got married before waiting 3 months, and the other one wasn't allowed to get married. How do you explain that? So how can we have a takana like this? Omalei Abayis, Abayis, I don't understand. Do people know how to read or not? I mean, the date is on the get. So if they have any questions, all they need to do is look at the get, and then it is just very clear. Zozman gita mochiachala, zozman gita mochiachala. Each one of them has a clearly dated get. We're worried ad kedekach about people who don't know what they're talking about. Tanya kavasi de Rav, we did find a brisa like Rav who said that we begin counting 3 months only when the get was received. And we also have a brisa that goes a little bit of Shmuel, that we begin counting the 3 months to allow her to get married from the time that the get is dated. Tanik avasid Rav, hashaleach get li ishto v'nishta hashaleach b'derach shlosha chodashim. Somebody sends a get. The shliach took 3 months before he was able to deliver the get. When she receives that get 3 months later, she's going to have to wait another 3 months because she only got the get later. Now, don't be worried that this would be called a get yashan, because hare lo nityachedim. I mean, the case over here was that he sent it to her. The shliach was on the way for 3 months. So what that means is that they hadn't gotten together in this case. He was away and he had sent it with a shliach. So we don't have to worry about this being a get yashan because they weren't alone together. And therefore, we don't have to worry that he impregnated her. Sharei lo nityachedima. Okay, this is exactly like Rav. Even though we don't have to worry that she's pregnant, we do have to worry about the normal takana, not to confuse people, and you're still going to wait the 3 months. On the other hand, we have a brisa, aliba de Shmuel, tanik avasid de Shmuel. Somebody gives a get to into escrow. He's mashlish get lishto, and he tells the party that's holding the get, don't give her this get. And according to Rashi, at this point, he leaves town. And that's why we're not going to be chayish for a get yashan. Tosfos says, then what's the point of this case? Why is this case different than the other case? Why are we talking about a case where he put the get into escrow? Obviously, the whole point that is new over here is to tell me that even though he was here in the same city, once he gave that get to somebody, it was obviously, if we're saying that it's kosher at all, it means we're not chayish, leget yashan. So if that's the case, since it was written before, it wouldn't be a problem. Rashi learns it doesn't make sense. The only time the Rabbanan should actually allow for writing something like this without a chash leget yashan is specifically where there's no choice because he's leaving town, and therefore he wants to make sure that if he doesn't make it back, that somebody's going to give her a get. Okay, so here too, leget yashan, ein choshishin, but the minute that she gets that get, since it was 3 months later, mishenatunula muteret linaseh miyad, sharei lo nityachedima, we're not chayish for get yashan, and at the same time, we also will accept the date on the get, exactly like Shmuel says. Okay, so that means we have both a brisa like Rav, both a brisa like Shmuel, Rav Kahana, Rav Papi, Rav Ashi, all of them went aliba de Shmuel. And they all were matir, the woman, to get married from the date on the get, even though she'd only received the get later. Whereas Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Rav Yoshua, they went aliba de Rav, and they were avde from the time of the Nesinas Haget, and the halacha is Misha'at Ketiva, that you have to wait only from, like Shmuel says, the time that it was written. Now, the Rosh points out, even though he quotes the Gemara, he says, the Gemara says, Mishat Ketiva. However, he says, nowhere in Ashkenaz or in Tzarfat would any judge rely on this kind of thing, and they would all be Machmir to go according to Rav. So even though the Gemara paskened like this, the Rosh brings that it became the Nohug not to go Aliba de Rav. Not to go, sorry, Aliba de Shmuel, but rather to go Aliba de Rav. Itmar. Another very interesting question, which is also Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, is at what point is a ketuvah actually cancelable by Shemitah? Because on the one hand, we know that we look at the ketuvah as a standard debt. But on the other hand, it is, remember, a Tanai Bezdin. And any kind of Tanai Bezdin is never Mishumat. If a Bezdin creates a debt for whatever purpose, as you see later on, it could be for things like fines or whatever, which we'll talk about, that's not going to be a milva that the Torah cancels in Shemitah. So at what point would we look at a ketuvah as any other debt? So Rav says, look, the moment that she's pogemet the ketuvah, pogemet ketuvah, remember, means that she accepts partial payment towards her ketuvah, which means that at this point, there is a lo yigos et re'ehu. The whole issue of Yerv Shemitah is that you are not allowed to be in a position in which you are pressing for collection directly as re'ehu. So this means a kol ba'al mashe, anybody who's got an ability to press, that's your own self. But Bezdin, where the Bezdin is the one that is forcing the payment, that is not considered to be a cancelable debt. And of course, that's part of the way in which we do today. We get around the issue by writing the prisbal, we give it over to Bezdin, so now Bezdin is now the ones that are going to be collecting, and so on. Okay, we also talked about the issue of whether it needs to be collectible now during Shemitah. If it isn't, so then Shemitah is not going to cancel it. So the question is, what actually would turn that ketubah into a debt that is not just a maisa bezdin? So Rav says there's two issues that need to be changed. She had to have accepted some payment towards it, and then she had to have said, and the rest of this, you owe me. So once you say you owe me, it's basically we've taken the ketuvah and we've said, okay, the ketuvah is not the issue anymore because I've started paying out the ketuvah. But since it's already in the process of collection, the fact that she said the rest is owed to me, that basically turns it into a loan that is owed. Where Shmuel says, you don't need both of that. The moment that she starts collecting, she's pagma. She doesn't have to say the words, and the rest is a loan. It's a given that it's a loan. And if she says to him, look, you know, the ksuvah equals such and such, let's make an actual summary of what it is that you owe me. You had such and such, the winyak semalug, there were such and such, its own barzel that are leftover bits that you have to return, and so on. And that's what I expect you to pay me. That's already, without being pogen the ketuvah, that's already being zakfa ala kimilva. This is what you owe me. And once she says that, even though she wasn't pogma. And the other way would also be true. Once she started to collect, she was pogemet, so then she doesn't have to say the words. So either way, according to Shmuel, either zekifa as a loan or pigima as a partial payment turns the ksuva into a debt that Shvius will cancel. Tanya kavase de Rav and Tanya kavase de Shmuel here too. Tanya kavase de Rav, because it says over here that a ktuva is mishametet only when you do both. Mishetiv gom vitis gof. But if you were pagma velo zakfa or zakfa velo pagma, that is not considered to be a loan to be canceled by Shemitah, and ain't a mishametet until she does both. So that is 100% Rav no way out of that. We also have a brisa that says like Shmuel. And here the brisa says that in the case of payments for ones or for knas, knas, stam knas, refers to a motzi shemra, because motzi shemra has nothing else to pay but knas. When you talk about ones, there's all kinds of other payments as well. Pain and embarrassment, whatever, right? So therefore, if we're talking about raw knas, then we're talking about a din of a motzi shemra. So for ones, knas, and pitui, which is also, if he doesn't marry her, he has to pay the 50 shekel, and a ktuvat isha, which is exactly what we're talking about over here. And it says over here, if they were zikafan b'milva, that's all. It doesn't say anything about ever pogemet ktuvata. The moment that the woman says, okay, this is what you owe me, then mishamtim. Ve'imlaf in mishamtim. And what makes this thing? Me'imatai nizkafim b'milva. When do we say, understand the ktuva, obviously, but at what point would you be able to be zokef a knas, oines, and pitui? What would that mean? That's mishat hamada bedin. The moment that the bezdin actually paskins that he has to pay, so then at this point, and she's a suit for it, at this point, they are owed as loans to her, the same as a loan is. Okay, this is pure Shmuel, obviously. It doesn't say a word over here about being paid off to some extent for your ketuvah. Omer Shmuel, what about the date on a ketuvah? This is like a serious issue that comes out all the time. Because if we're going to treat a ketuvah the way that we treat a get, and if the Adam sign 10 minutes too late, and it's not the same day because it's already the next day, the Mishnah said that if you do that on a get, the get is possible because it would be a get mugdam. What would be the din of a ketuvah? Because that happens very often on a ketuvah. They sign the ketuvah, they write the ketuvah, and then, you know, there's all of the fetching around and arguing and whatever, and then by the time they actually get to signing the ketuvah, it's 10 minutes after, and it's already the next day. So what happens over there? Omer Shmuel, ketuvah has a din of Maaseh Beit Din. What does he mean? Ma Maaseh Beit Din Nechtavim B'yom V'Nechtavim B'Layla. When you have something that is a court psak, so the point is that there's already a chiev for payment the moment that the Bezdin paskins. The write-up is only there as a raya for the Baal Din to be able to provide. But we don't need this document and signature to make it official. We only need the psak bezdin. Now, since a ksuva is a takona of bezdin, and there's automatically a chalos achiyav as far as even if he hadn't written a ksuva, so then if that's the case, the ksuva is almost by definition an act of the court. And over there, whatever you sign, that you sign afterwards is not a problem. You can sign it afterwards because basically, when is the chiyuv? The chiyuv was actually from before. So, af ktuva nechtevet bayom v'nechtemet balayla. As a matter of fact, Reb Chiya Bar Rav, when he got married, he had that problem at his wedding, and the ksuva was written in the daytime. He didn't get around to signing it until the night. And Rav was there. And Rav didn't, if anybody's going to make a fuss, you'd think it would be Rav, but no, he didn't say anything about it. It's his kid. He didn't say anything about it. So apparently, which seems to mean that in this case, Rav holds like Shmuel and agrees that this is basically okay. And a ksuva can be, in fact, written from before and signed later. It's very interesting because there's two ways of understanding the Gemara. Lema Kishmuel Svirle could be, what? Rav holds like Shmuel? Which would imply that the halacha is not like Shmuel, you know? And what's interesting is that there's a big machlokas we've shown you how to read the Gemara. Do you read the Gemara as, what? Or do you read the Gemara? Does that mean that Rav holds a Shmuel? If all it means, does that mean that Rav holds a Shmuel? So then it means we're willing to accept it, which is basically the way the Rambam, the Rambam is basically looks at it like that. And when we're doing it, we're saying, I said the Rambam. I didn't mean the Rambam. I mean the Ran learns it like that. And that means that we're being deicha. That doesn't make sense. But according to the Rambam, it's basically a question of it's very difficult to believe that Rav would hold like Shmuel. Because of that, he passed, it's not like Shmuel. Anyway, says the Gemara, but it's no raya at all. Because there's a very simple explanation as to why Rav didn't say anything, which has nothing to do about whether he holds like Shmuel and that it has a dinamizing bezdin. It could very well be that the situation at the wedding of Rav's son was that they were asukim boto inyanav. They were still, the Edom were standing there. They were ready to sign, which is usually what happens at a wedding. So they're ready to sign. Now somebody has some kind of issue. Wait a minute, you didn't do the Kenyan, whatever it is. You spelled the name of the city wrong. Everybody has to have a say in these issues, right? So there's always going to be some latent discussions that are going to make the ksuva late. And that's what was happening over there. Now, since in those cases, that's called asukim boto inyan, they're still involved. The Edom have been set up from before. Everybody's looking at their watch. Please get moving over here. By the time we get out of these stupid weddings, it's the middle of the night. So basically, the din over there is that the kol that is generated by the chiyuv is immediate, and it doesn't matter that you had to wait till later to sign because it's the Edom, after all, that were waiting there anyway. And that is true about any contract, not only about a ksuv d'tanya. Omar Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Tzodak. When do we say that if you write a shtar in the daytime and it's signed at the nighttime that it's possible? L'shono l'b'she'en asukim boto inyan. That's only where they weren't busily engaged in that the whole time. But asukim boto inyan, any type of shtar would be kosher, and maybe that's what happened here. Shmuel was saying, even if you're not osik boto inyan, well, we have no idea what the case was over here. We have no reason to say that necessarily it means that Rav agrees with Shmuel. Okay, getting back to the Mishnah, just to talk it out, because we took for granted that we understood both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish in terms of Rabbi Shimon. Let's see that the Gemara wants to talk it out to make it clear. Rabbi Shimon says it's kosher even if it's predated. Why? Amar Rav, my time in the Rabbi Shimon, Kosova Kivan Shenatan Einav LeGarsha Shuv Ein Lo Peirod. Basically, Rabbi Shimon holds the moment that he made that determination to give her a divorce, there's no longer any peirod. Now the question is, in the case that we had before, where the guy wrote a get, we had right on the top of the daf, the guy wrote a get to keep and see whether the negotiations with his wife are going to bear fruit, and he should give the get, or shouldn't. When we asked over there, Ma'awilu Chachomi B'takanaktam, so we have a fascinating question about the Nechsei Malug in that case. Because according to Rashi, in that case, the Nechsei Malug, apparently, we wouldn't say, even Ali B'd Rabbi Shimon, that because he wasn't really Nasan Einav Lagarsha in that case. And Rabbi Shimon was only saying it's once he was really ready to give her the get. So it's an interesting point. How does that question of a get that is munach b'kisei, how does that relate to Rabbi Shimon? Amar Reish Lakish, by the way, this halacha, the Rabbi Shimon is machshir the get that was signed after the date of the writing. What do you think that means? You think that means a year later he's machshir the get? No. Lo yichshir Rabbi Shimon elo la'alter. He said, you've got to, if it was just obviously that it was delayed until the nighttime, that's what he was matir. But he certainly would not have been matir a get that is written, that is signed 10 days later, because then we'd have to be chayish, that get is not even a kosher get, because chayshinan shema piyes. Now, according to Rashi, shema piyes is just a different way of saying that maybe they got back together again, in which case this would be a problem of being a get yashan. Because if he made up with her, and generally the way he would make up with her was by having warm relations with her, which could have gotten her pregnant. So again, we have a get Yashan issue. But Tosfos Tainis here, the Rabbeinu Tam, says, no, we always find that there are two separate issues. There's a get Yashan issue, which is always called get Yashan. And then there's cases where we say Shema Piyes. Shema Piyes means maybe they made up and he was mevatel the get. Not because the get is possible, because of get Yashan. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, not true. We're not chayish for Shema Piyes. Why? Because afilu mikan v'ad asara yamim. When people are having marital problems like this, there is usually a heck of a lot of neighborhood discussion about it, because if their windows are open, everybody hears the argument. Oh, no, there go Jeff and Jill fighting again, you know, and everybody's talking about it. Now, if they would have made up, somebody would have said, hey, do you notice? There hasn't been any shouting over by the neighbors. So because of that, says Rabbi Yochanan, well, then we will know that Shema Piyes, but there would be Kola Isleinu Milsa. People will know that they became reconciliated, and we would find out about it. Okay, Itmar. Now, we've got another fascinating issue about a get that is Mugdam, and that is this. What about in a case where a guy says, I want 10 witnesses to sign on this get? Now, the reason that he does that is simply to put his wife through hell. You know, the more people that are there, the more embarrassed she is, the more overwhelming the whole setup is, because everybody has to be there together. Remember, we said you're not allowed to sign a get, you know, unless everyone is there. Ela b'mamat kulam, remember, we talked about early, because we're afraid that then only 2 out of the 10 or 5 out of the 10 will sign, and she'll think it's a kosher get when it wasn't a kosher get. Anyway, so he really wants her. First of all, she's got to break her back, getting the 10 people together, whatever it is. My God. So whatever the point is, what if he would say that? And then if some of them would have signed late. So first of all, we have to decide, what is the meaning of saying I want 10 people to sign this get? So itma. A guy tells 10 people, write a get for my wife. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, what that means is that only 2 out of the 10 sign as actual technical witnesses. Now, the rest of them have to sign, but they're not witnesses. They're just there for purposes of embarrassing his poor wife, right? So they are there. It's a condition. I don't want this get to be delivered and to be a kosher get unless these 10 people are all signed on it. But that doesn't mean that they're signed as witnesses. And the rest of them are Mishum Tanai. Whereas Reish Lakish says, no, it's not true. If he says he wants 10 people to be Kitva Get Leishtia, then that means they have to sign as witnesses. Well, first of all, before we get into discussion of what the difference is, what exactly are we talking about? What did he say? Did he say, hey, you guys, all 10 of you, or did he just say, hey, you guys, write a get? Now, that's a big difference, because Elik, Delo Amar Lehu Kulchem, if he never used the word, I want all of you to sign, is that where we have a machlokas with Yochanan Reish Lakish? But because it doesn't make sense, because later on the Mishnah says, Amar La Asara, if he just says to 10 people, write a get for my wife, it does not mean that they all have to sign. The Mishnah says that. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, you're not going to argue on the Mishnah, obviously. It says over there in the Mishnah, one guy writes the get. He didn't mean everybody write the get, obviously. He doesn't mean everybody sign the get. One guy writes the get, is this so fair? 2 people sign the get as witnesses, and that's for sure. So don't give me a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish about a Mishnah, okay? So clearly we're talking about over here where the guy made it evident he does not want this get to be given unless all 10 people are signed. So he said, Beferish Kulchem. So that means, according to Rabbi Yochanan, he wants them signed, but they don't have a technical meaning as witnesses would sign. According to Reish Lakish, they actually have to sign as witnesses. Now, by the way, when we say they have to sign as witnesses, don't take that too literally, because we're going to see it doesn't mean they have to be kosher witnesses. It means that they're going to be signing as if they were witnesses, but we'll get to that later. So then what interests us is, so what's the difference? Basically, I mean, they all have to be signed on the get, right? Both according to Reish Lakish and according to Rabbi Yochanan. What really does it matter to me whether they're signing because kulchem means I want you all to be signed as witnesses, or kulchem means I want you all to be signed? Bottom line is they all have to sign. No, what do you mean? It's a big difference. Let's imagine a case where two of them sign during the daytime and the rest of them sign after the daytime. Over the next week, they sign. So two people sign as kosher witnesses and the rest of them sign over the next 10 days, let's say, after everybody has signed. And remember, they all have to sign if you hold that it's kula mishum edim like Reish Lakish. They all have to sign when everybody was there, because otherwise it's not kosher. When you say kulchem, it means that we make this takana. So then the difference would be like this, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says, well, they're only there to make life miserable for her. So then it's fine, because by the time she got the get, 10 people were signed, which fulfills the t'nai that the husband made. I need 10 people to be signed before this woman is given the get. So according to him, it's kosher. Masha Inken, according to Reish Lakish, that they're supposed to be signing as Edim, and Edim have to be signed during the same day. And therefore, if some didn't, so then it still has a din of a get mugdam. That's one difference. I'll tell you another difference. Suppose some of them turned out to be posulatus. They were related, you know, or they were puzzled for some other reason. So what about there? If you hold like Rabbi Yochanan, the issue over here is just a t'nai, and he just wants them on that get to embarrass her, okay, what's the difference? If they're kosher witnesses, it's fine. And the get would be kosher as long as all 10 are signed. Masha'in can, according to Reish Lakish, the man yarmah mishum edim, then it would be puzzled, because they have to be kosher witnesses. So how would it be kosher according to him? Okay. Fine. Now, question is, you'll notice that the main issue that we should have been talking about here in Gittin, what should the main issue have been if this occurs in this perek? Lishma. No? I mean, it's been the big thing that's been with us since the beginning. Why don't we see the obvious difference? Because this is what I was referring to earlier, when I said, even according to Reish Lakish, it can't be that they have a din mamish of aiding. He wants them to be as if they're aiding. But things that don't have to do with the actual aiders, but has to do with the din of the get, to name it, that it should be lishma. Apparently, even according to Reish Lakish, the others do not have to sign lishma as if they were the real aiding, that with that it's v'kos havlo. That's not the point. Only two of the Edim that make the get kosher lishma. So even though the other ones are Edim, what he means is they have to follow the shaychus to Edim, to be there on the same day and to be kosher le'edus, but not the dinim of the get as lishma. This is a very important nekud of understanding what Reish Lakish was actually saying. Now, how about if a posel or a korov was the first or second to sign? And now that means that the one of the first two witnesses, which are the ones that are making it kosher, and the other ones are latanai, perhaps. So does it matter? In other words, do we say, well, the first two are the kosher witnesses and the rest are latanai? Or is it any two out of the ten? So what would be the din if one of the first two is actually posel? Would Rabbi Yochanan in that case say that, then that would mean that we can't rely on this, right? Because why would we have given it to them? So it's actually machlokas. Amr lekosher v'amr lepasul. Amr lekosher doesn't matter, because I don't care if it's the first one or whatever one it is. Rabbi Yochanan just said he wants these 10 people to be signing as a t'nai, whichever ones are kosher. Are kosher. So if two out of the 10 are kosher, that's also fine with me. Rashenkein, others say it's possible, because even if that's the intent, oti lachlufe b'shtoreis di alma, it's easy to get that confused, and People will say, oh my gosh, apparently it's okay to have relatives sign on a star. Because, I mean, how do you explain the fact that these first two people, I mean, these are the Aiden, and they signed, and the Besdin said it was okay. That doesn't make sense. So because of that, it's a gezeira that we don't accept it. But there's nothing innately wrong with it. I'll leave it to Rabbi Yochanan. That was a case where a guy said to 10 people, Kitvu get li ishti, and two of them had signed on the same day of the ksiva, and the others had signed over the next week, over the next 10 days. They came to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and they asked him, what's the din? And he said to them, look, I think that under these circumstances, where we've got a real problem, because apparently the husband was no longer available, he had run away or whatever, or she had gotten married in between. So he says, I think that Rabbi Shimon, who says that it really doesn't matter if the get is muktam, can be relied upon in a case like this. This is a shas hadchak. So, but as the Gemara, didn't Reish Lakish say that lo hirshir Rabbi Shimon al altar? Even if you want to hold like Rabbi Shimon, Reish Lakish said that Rabbi Shimon was never say over the next week. He said if you had the people sign the same night, that much is okay, but he certainly didn't mean that it would be kosher forever. There would always immediately be a problem of a get yashin and so on. So how could you rely on Rabbi Shimon if Reish Lakish says Rabbi Shimon never said that? Oh, says he, I don't hold of Reish Lakish. I, says Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, I hold of Rabbi Yochanan in Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Yochanan in Rabbi Shimon said, it doesn't matter, even if it's 10 days, and we're not chayish for pious, because we would have heard about it. But if you hold of Rabbi Yochanan, why do you need to come on to Rabbi Shimon? I don't understand. Rabbi Yochanan was the one who said that two of the 10 are signing as witnesses, and the others are signing as it's not. So if you hold like Rabbi Yochanan, then why do you need to hold like Rabbi Shimon? And you're saying it's only kosher because it's a tough spot and we'll rely on him to be makshir, get mukdam. It's not a get mukdam. You said you hold like Rabbi Yochanan, and really two of the 8 were signed properly. The rest are only there anyway for tonight. So what'd you talk about Rabbi Shimon for? Oh, says Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Well, in that, I hold like Reish Lakish. So in other words, when it comes to the question of whether they're signing Mishum Eidim, or they're signing Mishum Tanai, I hold like Reish Lakish. So I can't tell you that it's kosher because it's not a get mukdam, because Reish Lakish says it is a get mukdam because the Eidim signed late. But I can tell you that it's kosher. I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon, who says, we don't care about a get mukdam. Ah, you'll tain it to me. But according to Rabbi Shimon, that only works if it's the next night, not if it's a week later. In that, I hold like Rabbi Yochanan's opinion about Rabbi Shimon, which has nothing to do, obviously, with the main question about whether they're Adam or Tanai. It has absolutely nothing to do with that at all. In that, I hold like Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, according to Rabbi Shimon, we have no problem of a get mukdam, even if it's mukdam by a number of days. Doesn't bother me. Gentlemen, whew, that does it. So let's just review once again what it is that we spoke about. We went into further details about attacking the Takanas Chachamim because it's not totally effective since it won't cover gittim that were sent from overseas, which are going to arrive much, much later. And therefore, we don't seem to have achieved anything with the dating. For that, the Gemara says there is a call to those kind of gittim and people know that they arrived later. And we also had a question of what about cases where people are in therapy and they had a get written, but they weren't planning on delivering it, if the therapy works and so on. And for that, the Gemara says people in therapy avoid taking the draconian step of having the get written, and therefore we don't need to worry about that. So that was the continued discussion of the previous sugya about the issue of the get mukdam. Then we got into another question, and that was the issue of what is the din if you have more than the number of people necessary, you insist that they sign. And the question is, what is the din of those signatories? Are they signing as real Eidim, or are they signing just to be begun tonight to torture his wife? And we talked about a number of differences in terms of whether they would be hustling it because of a get mugadam if they signed later, depending on whether it's a Tanai or real Adian, or whether one of them was a kosher, one of them was a apostle, or was a Karev. And then we got into some side issues. But those are the main points that we can now, Baruch Hashem, move on, start talking about the actual Ksivas HaGet. So I look forward to the schus of learning with you tomorrow. Meanwhile, Hine El Yeshua Si, Eftach V'lo Efchad, and may we be Zecha to meet again for the Halakha Mishnah, which Sir Richard is already preparing for us in advance. So I say Shavua Tov.